Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this December the 23rd on the West Coast, now December the 24th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. And I suppose it's appropriate to wish those of you in those time zones to accept a very hearty Merry Christmas. And, of course, those around the world listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well. Before we bring up tonight's guest, want to just mention with all the crazy things going on, a lot of people are praying at this time, praying for peace, looking back at their life, reminiscing about when they were young, when they went to school, when they started their own family, when they went on vacations, when they did some traveling around the world, maybe when they went to war, and when they came back and started another career. And we tend to call that reeling in the years, when you sort of add them up. And how you look at it, I guess, is the key to the whole thing. If you've grown from it and you've become more conscious and you see what things in your life are really important, and certainly when Christ came to the earth, he came here to share a very important message, the Creator's message about how we should live our lives and what we should do and who we should be. Knowing oneself was important. And I thought I would allow you to reminisce a little bit about your life with a little bit of music from Steely Dan. We'll be right back.
out of time. The trip we made to Hollywood is etched upon my mind. After all the things we've done and seen, you find another man. The things you think are useless, I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years? Throwing away the time? Are you gathering up the keys?
From the words of Steely Dan, that was Reeling in the Years. Well, it sure brings back memories for me. We've made contact with our guest, although we've not made voice contact. I'm hoping he's with us. I'm not getting an indication of that, so... Should that be the case, we're going to move forward until I get visual indication and confirmation that he's with us. Of course, I'm speaking about former U.S. Marine Drew Malone Raines III, who hosts his own show on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio Network. Strange situation, but... may be indisposed for the moment or may be having a technical issue. So I'm going to keep the music flowing on this Christmas Eve and touch upon another artist, a brilliant young lady who I featured a little over a week ago, Rema Marvan, in All I Want for Christmas.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. May my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is you. Thank you.
Thank you.
From Christmas at My House, that was Larry Carlton in My Favorite Things. And we now have tonight's guest with us.
Well, I happen to like that music.
I know, it's pretty nice, isn't it? Anyway, he is the host of his own radio show. Many of you already know this. A Marine's Disquisition, heard daily on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. He hosts a website called amd.el Equity, and he's with us to talk about what's going on in the world. Former U.S. Marine from 1967 through 1977, my good friend Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to the show, and happy Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve. Ho, ho, ho. Depending on where you are around the world, because it's Santa starts, he starts climbing out of that sleigh here in a few minutes. In different parts of the world.
Yes.
A lot of people think that everything happens in the United States. It don't happen in the United States, guys. I got news for you. It's the 25th. In places like down under in a few minutes, or if it already started here about 20 minutes ago.
That's right. Well, in your neck of the woods, it's we're into it a little further on here where I am.
And but all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi, guys. I'm still here. They've been trying to take me down all week long. Hey, Gunny, I made it. They've been taking bets out there. Drew's not going to make it to the 24th.
Well, I hope they didn't lose too much money.
That's your problem. I don't gamble.
You made it. You've been doing a lot of shows too.
I've been doing a lot of shows. I've been being attacked left and right. Even Wind Talkers is starting to get attacked. Bobby's pulling her hair out down under. She's fit to be tied.
Give me Drew, if you can give me just a little more volume, please.
Oh, a little more volume?
Yeah.
A little more volume.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, that's good. Okay. You were saying?
I was saying that the attack has now started to affect people like Bobby down under and Larissa and Doug and Matthew and Olga. They're fit to be tied out there.
What are you talking about? Internet problems or streaming?
They're having internet problems. They're having studio problems. They're having power problems. Matthew hasn't had a problem with his power in 20 years. And he's sitting there doing a major news story, and he comes up and he starts talking about Putin doing his arrogant exercises to show his judo off, his taekwondo training, and wham, his power goes dead. And he has to take 10 minutes to walk away from the mic and literally go outside because he hasn't got a self-starting generator. He has to go outside and prime it and pump it and push it himself. So then my arm's getting exercised and it shouldn't have to get.
And tell us, for those listeners that didn't get to hear your show or this show for that matter and aren't apprised of what's been going on, you don't have to go into a whole lot of detail, but why is this happening?
Because we're spreading the truth. That's really the bottom line. And a lot of it was planned. It took them a while, and the attack was unmerciful against the master herbalist that I support. She still doesn't know I support her, but she has walked away thinking that I've allowed these trolls and usurpers and these Zionist pigs that are attacking us, because we're bringing the truth about the evil out there. Dr. Ott's bringing the truth out there. And I had several articles of audio to back up Dr. A. True Ott for my show yesterday. And I ended up having to do a show with a portable phone that belonged to a neighbor.
I know. That was a first. And
I want to
you can hear the traffic going by. Well, here comes a truck. It's going to go by in about 4 seconds, and he doesn't have a muffler.
Yeah, I was at the point where, okay, this one's an F-150 with no muffler. Oh, this one is a Subaru that has extra mufflers. You can't hear it. Oh, it was a trip. I want to tell you, I sat down on the B box and did the show on the B box in 44 degree weather outside.
I know you sounded like you had to put on a ski suit or something.
I did. I did. I put on my winter overalls.
Your Carhartt.
I had on my winter overalls and my Marine Corps pullover cap, my snow boots, and I'm not laced. If I didn't lace those snow boots up, I'd have been burning up. But I was you know, conveniently warm for what I was doing, and it was a problem. I was, now that I look back at this week, Don, I want to tell you, I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised I was able to do a show with you on Tuesday and a show with Bob Chapman today. And I got through an hour with Colorado Al, and we did the Christmas special with playing the Imagination Theater of the mystery detective Harry Nile. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the best Harry Nile movies, the Jim French movies, theatrical radio programs that Jim French Productions out of Seattle has done, because he incorporated a wise-cracking Australian female detective. And Bobby and Megan is from Australia, and Bobby is New Zealander, and they laughed all the way through the play. It was one of those detective stories with humor on Christmas Day.
I mean,
obviously I can't talk about it, because every time I think about it, it made me laugh. And one time this Australian actress that was playing the part of the Australian detective, he makes a comment about Australian detective being a Kiwi, and she slaps back at him real rudely. He says, "You drango, that Kiwis are New Zealanders. I'm an Aussie." And there's a lot of people in America, well, I shouldn't say a lot, the 99% of Americans don't know the nicknames of the people that live in Wales, in Ireland, in Scotland, in New Zealand, and Australia. And the nicknames they have for us, and I won't repeat them. But we had a good, you know, it's radio, and it's the Christmas season, and just like the music you played here tonight that I've listened to, it's just, you know, people have just have to realize that we're here on this planet to learn how to get along with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And go through this physical body, because once we transform into a spiritual body, all kinds of powers in your hand.
That's right.
You've got to learn patience. You've got to learn compassion. You've got to learn forgiveness, and you've got to understand that there's no such thing as lying and cheating. You don't have a need for that stuff. And those of us that make it through this age, in this age at this time, are going to be able to live through the glorious age that God has promised us when He takes out all evil.
Yeah, and that evil has reared its ugly head in these days. And you feel it, but you have to also recognize it. And I know you do. I think it freaks a lot of the listeners out when they hear what we're going through, and they're witnessing it. Some of them are participating in it. And you can see that when so much negativity is directed at a few individuals that are just doing something very simple, bringing the truth out, that they rear their ugly heads at everybody. They even attack listeners. Can you imagine that, Drew?
Oh, I know.
So we have to recognize it for what it is and do our best not to get bent out of shape. And
well, everything that is happening to me right now in spades happened similarly to me 4 years ago,
mm-hmm.
4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm one of these people that you burn me on Monday and I get over it pretty fast. And then the next day, let's move on. Okay.
Yeah.
4.5 years after the last major attack, the similarity, I forgot all about it. Bob Chapman, he remembered. He remembered, of course, he's an elephant, man. He never forgets anything. he remembered it to the month, and reminded me that that's what launched Megan and Bobby and Matthew and Doug and Olga and Larissa and a half a dozen other Marines to formulate the Wind Talkers Network on phone bridges, because when we went on to phone bridges, we didn't answer anybody
mm-hmm.
except ourselves. And the moral fact that standards that I place on radio, regardless of the fact that the FCC or the New Zealander Communication Bureau is monitoring the language of the show, we are the ones that are supposed to monitor our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And even our friends aren't allowed to come on the network and curse.
Mm-hmm.
And when you take your friends off, they get all upset saying, well, you know, he wouldn't even let me talk. Well, you can't let somebody talk and abuse the moral fiber of what your shows are, regardless of who they are.
Mm-hmm. And regardless of the message, too. That's not an excuse for it.
No.
You know.
And there's two sides to this coin that, on the attack on me this week. And unless you're in this studio with me, you don't see what was going on. I've had one friend that has been here this week who looked up and he says, man, look at all that porno being thrown on your screen. How is that rolling through there? And I looked at him and my back was to that particular computer monitor. And I turned over and I said, oh, that's we don't know who that is. We don't know how it's hitting us. I've got a trace program on that now. Don't even watch it because it's going to start getting really bad. And I just reached over and hit the button and turned the monitor off.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So this is done.
That monitor and that computer has been laid over to the side. I'm going to take all my personal data off of it, and we're going to replace the hard drive completely, and we're going to take the BIOS completely off and reload a brand new virus. Yeah, that's what it is. Load a brand new BIOS onto the chip so we can save the computer.
Yeah.
And then the hard drive, we're not even going to mess with it. We're just going to trash it. So I'll still be able to salvage some parts of it. But it was a computer that was given to me. And I'm gonna regulate it to emergency status, to be used only in an emergency when another computer might break down and I need something in the meantime to suffice.
Mm-hmm.
But just about all of us are looking at switching our computers out and going to portable laptops. Many of the independent Wind Talker show our networks, stations are looking at going to full laptop because the laptop has finally gotten to a point where it can replace the PC.
you know, the big towers and all the complicated, bulky stuff.
Right.
And they're faster and cleaner and, yeah, they're supposed to work better.
Well, they're, yeah, and they're supposed to work better.
And isn't
it? And with the new low-cost external hard drives, you don't have to tear into it. And, well, I got a 250-gigabyte hard drive, and I've got it all loaded up, so I'm going to have to get me a 500-gigabyte, and a 500-gigabyte hard drive costs $150. Well, that's not the case anymore. 500-gigabyte hard drives are down to $39.95. 1-terabyte hard drives are down to $79, and those are for PCs. And the 500-gigabyte and 1-terabyte portable My Passport style hard drives are now below $100. So and they just plug and play. They just plug right there on a USB port. So you can have a laptop with three, if you've got three outputs on the USB side, you can slap three 1-terabyte portable laptop, portable hard drives onto your laptop, and you're sitting there with a high performance computer that the men and women of the military in 1979 would have given you free travel expenses for the rest of your life.
Yeah, we've,
you know,
we've talked
the
about
computers that those guys were using in 1957. They took up a whole room about the size of a basketball court.
Yeah. They had tubes and all kinds of big rotary potentiometers. You had to have a big hand to turn the thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know. Yeah, the electronics have come a long way since then. Well,
and the storage. How about the storage devices? They put it on tape, magnetic tape.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of what they're doing now is, you know, sending pictures, sending video, sending sounds that have embedded code in there, and that's how all this crazy stuff happens. So you got to, people have to be really careful about what they accept in their email and what they pass around.
And it's going to get a lot worse, Doug, because of the digital age.
Yeah. That's true.
Most people don't understand that in the digital age, fake photographs are easy to put up. But they still make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's what you and A. True Art do so well in investigating photographs and seeing what's there. You pointed it out to me, and I'm a Recon photographer. Trained. So, yeah.
Well,
you know, it amazes me that we're all still here and not in the bottom of a test tube.
Yeah, exactly. Since it's a holiday, Drew, I want to go back and play a piece that I played a couple of weeks ago. This was recorded at the
Kirkwood Center in Seattle?
The Welland Seaway Mall. Okay.
Okay.
And this is Chorus Niagara under the directorship of Robert Cooper. This is taking place in the food court. It was actually November 13th, but I guess this was probably a warm-up for their Christmas concert, and it's the kind of thing you were talking about. People should be able to do this. Anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
That's how it's done in Canada, Drew. Wouldn't it be nice to see something like that happen in this country right now?
Well, let's get it over. I mean, that's exactly what we need in this country. But what do we have in this country? We've been invaded, excuse me, by this mindset. Well, we can't offend our brothers who are Muslim, so we can't put up, I want all of these Christmas decorations taken down. I don't want to see anything in here about deck the halls. No one is to put up any Christmas ornaments, cards. There will be no Christmas party. We don't want to offend the Muslims. Wait a minute here, lady. This is the head. This may be the American Red Cross. You may be the head of the American Red Cross, but this is the United States of America, and this country was created in the spirit of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. And if the Muslims are offended, pack up. Put them on a boat, send them home to the countries where they want to implement their laws. Because in Iran and Iraq and many other countries in that hemisphere, you bring up the word Christian or attempt to celebrate the birth of Christ, regardless if you celebrate it in the true form of the latter part of September and the first part of October, or you support it on the Constantinople form of the 25th of December, the Muslims will literally kill you for being a Christian. Now, I'm tired of all of this tolerance that we're supposed to have. I'm tired of losing my rights because some Muslims are offended. And every time I turn around, 14% of the Muslim race, or I shouldn't say race, I should say Muslim believers in the United States, 14% believe in Sharia law.
Sharia law.
The Sharia law, as far as I'm concerned, is not law. It is male chauvinism, stuffing their male arrogance over the poor and the downtrodden and women.
Well, we have this Hegelian dialectic, Drew, where they tell us that the Muslims invaded New York City on 9/11, 2001, and we have to go get them. And so they started a war in Iraq, and they started a war in Afghanistan. But over here, after they invaded us, we're supposed to give them all our money, give them benefits, bring them all here. I mean, if you listen to the argument, it's insane, isn't it? You're getting both sides of the story.
I want to know what a sane asylum these idiots escaped from that are leading their government in implementing agency that the Constitution founders, constitutional writers, had no clue that leaders, even immoral leaders, would implement what we're seeing today. But they did have a clue how evil leadership could get, and that's why they brought together and sat down, and the Constitution, which is a limitation of power, it's not your right. Read the Constitution, not the Bill of Rights. Read the Constitution. It is a limitations of power on those serving in office. The Bill of Rights, ladies and gentlemen, a complete separate document, was added to the Constitution as amendments to specifically show the rights of the people and the rights of the state.
Yes. Drew, let me ask you a very simple question. When the founding fathers landed on the soil here and decided, however that came about, to form a nation of people, a republic of states, how many laws did they have at that time, when they started?
Well, I kind of disagree with the fact that they were landed.
Well, you know what
I'll give you a history lesson.
Well, I'm talking about the invaders.
I understand.
I'm talking about.
I understand what you're talking about. You're talking about the formation of the nation.
Yes. How many laws did we have at that time?
Believe it or not, we were under the laws of Great Britain and France, depending on what state you were in, okay?
Well,
the colonists.
Simply, we had 10. We had 10 of God's laws.
Well, now, wait a minute. Now, I'm talking about in 1770. We were under the rule of the King of England and all the laws of Great Britain. But when the nation itself began in 1775, and that was the foundation. We did not basically come out here and say we're going to start a new nation. The war of rebellion was simply to get our rights as colonists to be equal to those that lived in England. But as it moved forward for 8 years, it became common knowledge that we could not live anymore under the tyrannical rule of any king or any member of parliament, such as Lord North. And the founding fathers began to, those that were members of the Continental Congress, those first 13 presidents. Oh, wow, I just made a big boo-boo. I educated the American people in the fact that they had 13 presidents before George Washington. The president of the United States in those days, ladies and gentlemen, was the president of the Congress. He was also the president of the United States, of the colonists, and the president of the United States, as the country was being called the United States at that time. And when, just before the Articles of Confederation were formulated, there were only 10 laws that governed everybody in all of the colonies. 10! And they were from the Bible.
That's what I was referring to. Yeah, and we've got millions of them now. Millions of them. And
the first United States Code under the first Supreme Court Justice, John Jay. Why don't some of you people out there ask some of these high school kids who the first Supreme Court Justice is, or college graduates with their master's degree. Ask them who John Jay is, except those that have a master's degree in history. The first United States Code, ladies and gentlemen, was a pamphlet. And the Bible was basically mentioned in the United States Code as part of the laws of the United States. But the pamphlet that held the United States Code was only 10 pages long. In the Bible, the Ten Commandments of the Bible were on page 7. And then we move forward to the Articles of Confederation, which had a number of laws in there. And the United States Code expanded 2 pages. And we lived with that. Those 12 pages all the way up until the formulation of the modern-day Constitution with just 10 amendments in 1789. But most people do not understand the Bill of Rights was ratified prior to the Constitution. The Constitution was not going to be voted on and accepted by the colonists unless the Bill of Rights was placed on board, and there was votes after votes after votes. And finally, when the Bill of Rights is those first 10 amendments, was ratified and placed onto the Constitution, was the Constitution then ratified not by the 13 colony states, but by 9. And by being done so by 9.
Drew, you got to get closer to your mic. You're drifting off a little.
Well, it's drifting off, okay? Well, we'll move the microphone back over to where it was because it kind of drifted off away from me without my knowledge because I closed my eyes to look at my history book. The colonists from Rhode Island wouldn't even vote on the Constitution. And Vermont wasn't even at the committee meetings. They weren't part of the formulation of the United States. They didn't want to have anything to do with the United States. They were totally independent. They only became a state. They were the 14th state. They wanted to see what the other constitutional ratifications would happen. And only after Rhode Island decided to sign the Constitution, did Vermont petition United States to become a state. They wanted a little protection from the United States because the British were on their shores. And there was some top secret communication leaked to the leaders of Vermont that the British were going to come in and take over their country. Remember, 1791, the British had been, their posteriors had been kicked all over the place by a ragtag group of individuals with minor help from France. France did not help the United States become its country until it was well received by the King of France that the colonists were basically kicking posterior in rural South Carolina, in North Carolina, in Virginia, because of the men and women that took arms and fought behind the trees and did their dastardly deed on the supply lines. The British had to leave North Carolina because they couldn't get food. The quote, "The rebels are raiding our supply lines, and we're having to send regiments with our supply lines to bring food in." And then the Battle of Sarasota, where Benedict Arnold, General Benedict Arnold, laid waste to the British.
Was that Sarasota or Saratoga?
Saratoga. I can't. I'm.
You got your mind on vacation.
I misspoke the name.
Yeah. Okay.
But the bottom line is, Benedict Arnold at that time was one of the greatest heroes, because every battle that General Benedict Arnold was in, he laid waste. He was trained as a military officer. He was the right-hand man of General George Washington. The only reason he turncoated on the United States and General Washington because of his greed. He wasn't going to be allowed to have the spoils. And the British, their spies learned that Benedict Arnold had a desire to own some of the lands that he was conquering and taking away from the British. And George Washington had sent him communications telling him to cease and desist and had returned the lands to the people. And this infuriated him. He was trying to build his own little empire of land.
Yeah, I think he was jealous of Washington and Thomas Jefferson, who...
And he was jealous of the notoriety that Thomas Jefferson was getting and George Washington was getting, and yet he was doing 80% of the battles and winning. Bottom line is, everybody knows Benedict Arnold became the traitor and died in England. He wasn't, a lot of people think that, or he was placed on the gallows here in the United States, but his other henchmen that were with him, the other officers that escaped, they all died in England, poor, impoverished, unknowns. And Benedict Arnold was hung as a traitor. And yet he was one of the founding generals of this nation. And again, who the officer was that court-martialed him. It wasn't George Washington. It was Jerome John Jay, the first Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America and governor of New York State. He left the office of the prestigious job of the Supreme Court Justice to take on the leadership of the state of New York. People don't know their history. And we did not, we actually did have Muslims fighting for the liberty. But there were no Muslims in the foundation of the nation itself.
Yes. And
this nation was founded on God's principles, on the life of Yeshua the Christ dying on the cross. And even Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible because of the lies that he found in the King James Version of the Bible and the twists.
Yeah. Well, Drew, before we close out the show here, I want to take a moment and go back to another Christmas song here.
As long as it's not Silent Night or Merry Christmas or Holy Night, I'm fine.
I'm kind of,
they're great songs, but man, I've heard enough of them.
Actually, this one doesn't speak about Christmas, but it's a prayer.
Oh, outstanding.
Okay, and it has a message, and this is from Andrea Bocelli, accompanied by Celine Dion. This is called simply The Prayer.
Oh,
Notice the lyrics, Drew said, I'm just going to quote one little piece. Give us faith so we'll be safe. Didn't ask for Homeland Security, FEMA, and TSA and all of this insanity. Just faith, something simple. You pray to God. You know, I couldn't help but think of Jesus the Christ coming here to the earth and raising the vibration of this planet with his words and his miracles that he performed, demonstrating the knowledge, the superior knowledge of the universe and the creation and of the Father. And that's what we should remember when we think of Christ, is why he came here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Says it all.
In 1881, which you just played, brings to mind of Thomas Jefferson's own words in 1881, as he was putting together the formations of what was going to be a treaty with France. And his statement was in a letter to the Republican citizens of Washington County, Maryland, quote, "The care of human life and happiness and not their destruction is the first and only legitimate object of good government." And the simple fact is, Yeshua the Christ Jesus was here to show us how to live among men, how to do unto others as we do unto ourselves, how to live without greed, and how to prosper when you work with yourself and you work for what you eat. What can you do with $9 billion that you can't do with $1 billion? Evil, ladies and gentlemen, greed and control. When major men and women have in their hands an excessive amount of funds, they themselves could care less about money. They care only about power and the manipulation of others. Take a good hard look, ladies and gentlemen, of who has to go through the physical body searches at airports. and yet look out at the tarmac of the massive number of private jets that are taking off. Multimillionaires have been buying their small jets and flying them out of airports because they don't have to go through a pat-down. They don't have to worry about their luggage being ramshackled. They don't have to worry about having a gun accidentally left in their case and being arrested. And God forbid you take away their medicines or their trinkets. So you sit back there and you think that you've got liberty in the United States of America when you are being controlled. Jesse Ventura is walking around right now with a big target on his back. And I expect any day now to pick up a newspaper, a newspaper article on the internet telling me that Jesse Ventura was shot and killed by some rogue individual. When in all, in fact, it's the United States government because of the information he's bringing in about the elitist at the top, George Soros, T-Bone Pickens, the Bush family, the Illuminati elitist, and Don Nikoloff and Drew Raines and A. Truott and D.V. Kidd and Frank Whalen and Francis Stephen Hayes and Dr. Gianni Hayes. Then Dr. Carly, Wendy Wilson,
Greg Evenson,
Ray Stevenson.
No, Greg Evenson, I said.
Greg Evenson. Officer Jack McLam. I could go down the list if I pull my list up over here of about 60 patriots out here who are just like the patriots of the original colonies, the representatives who signed the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Two different groups of people, ladies and gentlemen. The people that brought forth the Declaration of Independence were not the same people that put forth the Constitution. Put that in your peace pipe and smoke it. Learn the truth. And understand one simple fact. Just like Don Nikoloff's little audio clip, we are here for in a peaceful way. A real, very simple fact. Open your eyes and see who the multimillionaires and billionaires and what they're doing about controlling your water, controlling your air, controlling your food and taxing you to death so they can take that money that they tax you and build their safe havens and fight wars so they can have land in other places. That's all I got to say, Don. Thank you very much. And to all my Marines around the world, Semper Fi.
Well, Drew, I want to thank you for being on the show and, remind the listeners, you'll be with me, I hope, on New Year's Eve, the 31st, depending on where you are in the world.
Are you going to buy the plane ticket?
Just be with me on the radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I didn't know I was going to have to stand on top of radio.
We're not flying these days.
A friend that has an airplane.
I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and keep up the great work.
I'm over target. You see all the flak holes?
Yeah, I hear you. But, you're a man of God. You're a man of faith, and God will protect you.
Thank you, Don. And thank you, BBS Radio, for doing what you can do to get the truth out. The more of us out there spreading the word, all we got to do is we're just little bitty fires. And that's all that Benjamin Franklin wanted us to be. Little bitty fires fighting the tyrants. Thank you, Don.
All right, Drew. You too. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to this Christmas Eve edition of Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And tonight's guest, Drew Malone Raines III. You can visit Drew's website at amd.elequity.com. Special thanks also to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting the show, either live or in an archive. Want to wish all you folks also a very Merry Christmas. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and Merry Christmas to all of you folks. And to the listening audience, I want to thank you for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist and inventor Jim Murray. We're going to have a great show tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. And in the meantime, again, all of you, Merry Christmas. And have a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.